Welcome to the Watch OK Please podcast, a podcast where three friends try to convince each other to devote what little time they have left to watch more TV and or movies than they've ever wanted to watch. Please join us while we argue about our media cues and waste everyone's valuable time on things that just don't matter.
Hey watchers, it's Scott, and thank you for joining us on another episode of the Watch OK Please podcast. First up, Nyan and I give Dan our feedback on the unique special, Bo Burnham Inside, which you can watch on Netflix. Nyan would like me to point out that the song he references as titled I Am an Artist is actually called Art is Dead. Sorry, Bo, I hope you'll still come on our podcast someday. Next, our special guest pitcher, Lev, tells us about the 80s homaging American Horror Story 1984. This is season 9 of the anthology series, and Lev suggests watching episodes 1 and 2, which are available on Hulu. As always, if you are enjoying or hating any of this podcast, please rate and review us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. You can also hit us up on our Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook pages, as we do monitor those pages. Who knows, you may even get a shout out in a future ep. Finally, feel free to leave us voicemail with a pitch of a show or movie you want us to watch on our Anchor page at anchor.fm/watchokplease. All right, watchers, on to the show and the 80s references. Tubular.
All right, it's Dan, and we're back again for to get some feedback from Scott and Nyan about the 2021 offbeat Netflix comedy special from Bo Burnham, Inside. So, fellas, tell me, what'd you think?
Nyan, I'll let you go first, because I have a feeling that you probably like this more than me.
Oh, wow. I mean, I did, definitely. I actually thought you might like it, Scott, but yeah, I really enjoyed this. It was a lot.
Yeah,
and I think one of the trickier parts is that it lost some impact for me personally in that I watched it late, like once we're out of the strict lockdown, because I think this carries more emotional weight if you're during the actual lockdown itself. But Ultimately, I thought it was excellent. I realized I actually haven't watched his other specials, but I've heard random clips. And I think I should go back and watch those specials because his music and his style and his lyrics really kind of hit a good sweet spot for me, like pretentious, but I understand I'm pretentious because I feel like if I'd met him in real life and didn't really know him very well, I might not like him, but he becomes likable to me through his work. So I appreciated it quite a bit. It was all over the place. It was weird. And it also, like, as it got towards the end, hit these emotional points that were just spot on, I thought. Honestly, like healing the world with comedy. Well, I guess if we're going to start from the beginning, healing the world with comedy reminded me a lot of his song, I Am an Artist. And it was sort of a lot of recognition that, yeah, I do this thing that's funny and makes me a reasonable amount of money, but it is not necessary. And as someone who is FaceTimed while yelling with relatives, yeah, I could definitely relate to that as well. So before I get too far into it, I'd like to hear Scott's counterpoint because it sounds like you didn't like it as much, Scott.
Yeah, so this just didn't appeal to me. Yeah, it's hard for me to pin down exactly the reason, but I agree with some of the things you said. It was a lot. It was intense. It was also just all over the place in terms of being very funny and silly and also being very serious and deep and emotional. It went from him talking about killing himself and then to a song about sexting in a very short amount of time.
So,
that was a lot. And I think also I could say, even though I think the content, didn't kind of get me more engaged. That's what I was thinking of with what he was trying to do. I certainly appreciate all of the effort and the idea behind the project. Certainly, obviously, like someone whose primary job it is to perform in front of people is all of a sudden stuck in a house with no one, with no one else. His entire way of life was upended. I completely get that. And the fact that this show that he created this or worked on this over the course of like a year is certainly very impressive. And the different emotions that he was feeling over the course of time was kind of what fed into all of this. But yeah, I just didn't respond very well to it. Just didn't do a lot for me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, I think that, you know, the context, like I mentioned in the pitch as well, is that, you know, he had started having panic attacks after the Make Happy special in 2016. So he's also kind of, it wasn't just, I mean, the pandemic was a huge part of this, obviously, but I think he's also coming to terms with his need of performing, like you were saying, needing to be the thinking that, quote, he, there's only one thing I can do about it, while being paid and being the center of attention. So there's a the really hard dichotomy that definitely exists there. And yeah, I mean, again, this is one of the things I really like. This is the reason why I put the challenge out there, is because I didn't know in the context of this, Nyan specifically, you know, be liking Bo Burnham stuff, whether or not you would like this or think this was too much of a detour from like kind of the more, for lack of a better term, happy-go-lucky specials previously or clips you've seen previously. And Scott, I knew this would be a very uphill challenge for you, just because I think that contextually with what you said about during the Ansari feedback was that you like something to have a cohesive topic around itself. And so that's why I thought there's going to be, I mean, there's a certain mix of what I'll affectionately call pop culture meets 21st century attention span. Like for me, basically, if you're talking about musical or piano players who are also comedians, I think that Victor Borge, for example, is probably way more your bag than Bo Burnham will probably ever be.
Wow, I am not sure who Victor Borge is, but okay.
Yeah, go look him up later. I mean, again, he, a lot of his shows, I think there are some more, I'd say, more strict overarching themes. The pacing isn't kind of what this special was, I think, as well. And, you know, obviously he comes from a different generation also as well. So it's a different pacing. It's a different kind of feel of things. And obviously we talked about in a previous segment that we recorded about how contextually for a time period when something airs or is, you know, seen might have a different kind of feel to it. And I think that that is also characteristic of his specials, obviously, because he's from a different time period in that regard. There are some similarities between the two of them. What's different about this is just that there's a different time period, a different context, and a different emotional quotient, like you were getting to, Scott.
It's so funny you bring up Victor Borge, because that's actually a really good analogy. And Scott, I'm just surprised you haven't heard of Victor Borge, because he's old. And as far as I can tell, you've been 62 and a half since freshman year of college. So I assumed you would have known who Victor Borge is, which, I mean, I only know him through random commercials on PBS. But he's funny.
Huge. Yeah. Yeah. He's extremely funny, I think. Yeah.
And I think you really like him.
Yeah, but so are you saying that that Scott likes shuffleboard or stuff, things like that?
Well, know, curling is very similar to shuffleboard in a lot of ways.
Exactly. That's where I was getting at.
Yeah. Well, I guess I just somehow skipped over Victor Borge in my pop culture knowledge so far.
It's 5 p.m. I think it's time for me to get dinner now.
But yeah, but I think it's worth, you could probably find this stuff on YouTube, Scott. You actually might really like it. It's pretty funny for what it was. Like, 'cause I remember growing up and randomly just seeing it on PBS and being like, this guy's hilarious. I feel like he's going to give me candy. So this is a win-win.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's also like very, again, he dresses up. He's like a little bit more of like a, I'd say, traditional performer. And like, I think he was almost more like a pianist first and a comedian second in some ways, just because he comes out with that kind of feel. And obviously, as a player itself, I mean, he's musically very inclined. So, and Bo Burnham is too, but I think that there's a different kind of approach to things, basically.
And I think it's interesting, Scott, that one of the things that turned you off about it was sort of the tonal shifts, because that's one of the things that I like, because it feels like life. In that life is coming at you in just so many different speeds. And you're dealing with so many different people who are dealing with so many different things. People are coming off the train. People are getting on the train. Not that I've been on a train in years, because I've been overly cautious about the pandemic. But just that constant shifting of mind, to me personally, I enjoy that. I like that sort of diversity of thought within the context of a special and those shifts. So because to me, it feels like a journey. But I mean, if it doesn't work for you, it doesn't work for you. But I think that's interesting.
Yeah.
Just a different thought process and approach to things.
What I was going to say was, this special, in terms of like those shifts in tone and having some things be very serious and other things be very funny, reminded me of The Good Place.
Yes. Oh. I can definitely see that.
Okay. Which I think use a similar approach, but I really like The Good Place. For some reason, that just drew me in more.
Contextually, again, I haven't seen The Good Place, but I know the premise behind it. I mean, here you're dealing with someone who is technically still alive, whereas, you know, so
technically,
in a metaphorically speaking. So, and I think that that's part of it too. But I also think that it's because it's coming from a single person, and you're not seeing actual human interaction between two humans or multiple humans. I think that it also takes a little bit more. It makes the serious points a little bit more deep, a little more, I guess, cutting. In your case, it cuts really into, like, as the viewer. Again, this is why I put it out there to everyone, is because, like I said, I mean, I don't mean to be too much of a Rian Johnson in this kind of situation.
But sorry, it's pronounced Rian.
Oh, I'm sorry, Rian. Yeah. But, you know, but again, I knew this kind of picture would be polarizing, and I think that, you know, that was part of the reason why I wanted to do it. But again, I think we could all agree, though, there was quite a few one-liners and moments that are truly memorable, though. You could say it could open my eyes, don't you know?
It was interesting to hear the song about a white woman's Instagram while sitting next to a white woman who has an Instagram, but hers is not pretentious at all.
I love that. How they good song, yeah. They misattributed the Lord of the Rings quote to MLK.
Oh, brilliant.
That was amazing. That was
That was good.
Yeah. Yeah. Something about his humor that really clicks with me. It just nails it. I don't know.
The one about FaceTiming with his mom and like trying to work through his mom not quite knowing how to use FaceTime.
I did that yesterday. Yeah. I literally had that conversation.
I was about to say, I mean, is this something we've all kind of experienced?
I got a call at 9:30 at night about a scam email. This was insane. Then her internet cut out randomly. I was infuriated. Oh, by the way, can I just take a second to rep TeamViewer, which is, if you have elderly parents and you provide them with IT support, have them install TeamViewer. You can get a free personal license, and it allows you to remote into their computer very easily, so you don't have to have them point their phone at their computer screen and try to get them to keep it steady or just keep it pointed at the computer at all. And while you're trying to diagnose whatever TCP/IP settings they've screwed up that day.
I second that. So I definitely agree with that point. And I think that, you know, I loved how he constantly brought it back attention, saying, hey, you're listening to me, you're paying attention to me, but I'm saving the world with comedy as a white guy. And like, it always like cracked me up so much that it's like, yeah, it's true. But yeah, there was a lot of really awesome points in there across the board. A note about a tiny town in Massachusetts, overwhelmingly white, spent his free time watching Family Guy. I'm like, yep. Yeah. that sounds familiar.
Oh, Scott, did you like the Twitch bit? Because that might be the closest you've been to watching Twitch.
Yeah, I would agree. That was my next question, actually.
Oh, yes. I do remember.
Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of like kind of a Death Stranding vibe going on there for sure.
Yeah, the Death Stranding reference was... Oh, no, someone else made a Death Stranding reference. Did he reference Death Stranding?
I thought he did, yeah.
No, I think you're right. He did. I was thinking about something else. But yeah, as someone who doesn't like Death Stranding that much, but will probably play it eventually, finish it eventually. Yeah, I think he was dead on. But Scott, that's what Twitch is.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, anyway, I think you guys showed it to me maybe once, but that was the only exposure I've had to it.
Well, I like to think that back in the day, specifically junior year, just remember a time where we were sitting in the common room of a certain quad, and we were watching a friend of ours named M. I won't give his real name out yet, but yeah, he was playing one of the Final Fantasy games that had recently come out that year, and we're just sitting there watching him play video games, which is basically inherently what Twitch is.
Final Fantasy VIII. Yes,
that's correct.
Well, that was a good time, and
that was a great time.
Yeah, 100%. But actual Twitch, I find incredibly boring.
Well, again, I think it's also contextually, we don't know the people as part of it, but yeah.
You're right, but it's funny because there is someone I know who has a coworker who has a Twitch channel that he pops up on regularly, and I will watch it, and it's still just not interesting because I kind of know who this person is. It is so boring. One of these days, could we have a special episode where we try and figure out Twitch and its appeal, because I do not get it. I get so bored so quickly, and I'm trying so hard, you guys.
I think it largely depends upon, again, the person who's doing the Twitch has to be engaging. And I think just because if you're watching a video game replay, you don't necessarily even need the audio commentary Unless it's the angry guy playing Mario, in which case you definitely need the audio.
Yes.
Have you seen the angry guy playing Mario?
No.
Okay, we'll have to get that to you too as well. It's pretty hilarious.
Yeah, video games is never something I was either very good at or very interested in. This is probably why I haven't used Twitch.
What about Snood?
A certain friend of ours who pitched a show recently was very much into Snood. That's what I remember mostly about Snood.
Yeah.
That's fair. But that's the fair. Funny thing about Twitch is sometimes it's just people wandering the streets, recording themselves wandering the streets, or just sitting in a room and writing things on their bodies and then asking for money. So yep. it's a weird place, dude.
I can certainly imagine that.
I have four words for that. Welcome to the internet.
Yeah.
Twitch is pretty crazy. We might have to do I'm sure there's a documentary on Twitch out there already, or multiple probably. So we'll have to maybe find one, and then that'll deepen our involvement with the context of it.
There you go. But I guess getting back to the special.
Yeah.
Ultimately, sounds like thumbs up for me, but Scott, thumbs maybe sideways?
Yeah, not leaning in the downward direction.
Okay.
So you're saying it looks like the baby from Eraserhead.
Who I think I watched. I remember watching that movie in college. The baby Eraserhead is absolutely frightening. Wait, Scott, have you seen Eraserhead?
No.
What David Lynch movies have you seen?
You've seen the Dune. The Dune? Yeah, so I would say he's probably saw Dune.
Yep, the Dune movie that he made.
And nothing else?
I believe that's right.
Okay. Yeah, don't watch Eraserhead. I don't think it's worth anyone's time unless you're high.
And definitely don't go visit any of those neighborhoods in Philly where it was filmed.
I will certainly keep that in mind.
That's right. Scott famously hates Philly in a beef I just made up with Philly because I want to see if Will Smith will travel to Georgia to slap Scott. Sorry, well, someone's got to mention the Will Smith thing.
But no, I don't have anything against Philly. I have a beef with L.A., remember, because of all the
F-boys. Oh, that's right.
Oh yeah, no, we're adding cities you have beef with. You've got beef with another city. Next week, Sofia, Bulgaria. Let's see what happens there.
That will not happen.
the only Sofia that he loves more is Sofia Vergara.
Fair enough. Or Sofia Loret.
Oh, fair play.
Yeah.
Fair play.
How many previous episode references can we squish in here?
Get them all in.
Of course, you know, one of the ideas behind this show is to watch different kinds of things that otherwise you probably wouldn't watch. So I'm glad I saw it, but it just wasn't something I enjoyed that much.
And what are your thoughts on Sacco?
Oh, God, Sacco. Sacco was quite the eloquent piece of clothing.
Yeah, absolutely. I always forget I hope he's okay, too. One thing I always wonder is, I always forget how tall Bo is.
Oh, yeah. It's weird.
He's crazy tall. I always forget he's so tall. I don't think of him like that.
I've never seen him in his underwear before. So that was also.
Yeah. So what do you think about the ending?
I thought that was well done.
I mean, did anyone else get kind of a Truman Show kind of vibe?
Yeah. I did.
I can see that.
And then how he gets locked out, which I think was amazing. Because it's almost like, okay, I like to think of it, you know, getting back to more the context of where he was going into making this, was that he was locked out of his proverbial shell of where he was keeping himself away from the world, both for the pandemic and otherwise. And now he's basically being forced to be outside in the real world, being quote unquote seen by the sun and by nature in that regard. And he's in his barest of elements in that regard. So there's a lot of textual points and a lot of imagery that kind of plays into a lot of this. And there's a lot of, you know, a lot of different kind of ways you can come out of this. And I think that depending on where you are psychologically, mentally, dealing with the pandemic and everything else that's happened over the past couple of years, that you can come out of this with a lot of different feelings. So, and whatever feelings they are, I just want to let everyone know they're 100% valid. I respect all your opinions. And I guess if I ask you how you're feeling, I hope you say you're not feeling like a certain bodily fluid that comes out of your backside. So
doing my best.
One day at a time.
Yeah, so the answer is no, we cannot shut thee up about any single thing.
It's true.
And so that's how we end it. It's just us, our microphones, you, and your podcast listening device, as the Lord intended.
That's what we thought. Hey guys, it's Nyan, and we are back with our second guest of all time. You guys might remember him from the episode 16 Dancing Goonies, where we mentioned him growing up in St. Petersburg and trying to understand Travel Man in that context when we did the feedback. We still don't quite understand him, but he did show up and is ready to pitch a show for us. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce Lev.
Woo! Hi, everyone. I'm Lev. I've just been introduced, and I had no idea that I was an Easter egg planted in an earlier episode. You must have known that I will join you someday.
Lev is inevitable, much like Thanos. You guys have a lot in common.
I totally agree. And do you like the snap?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally. The jewelry. I think that just gets in the way of the snap, honestly.
But after all, rhythm is a dancer.
Yeah, it's a soul companion.
For folks who may not remember the episode, Lev also went to college with us. He was my roommate for most of college, and he apparently has a show he wants to pitch us. So what do you got, Lev?
I'm excited, man.
Okay, yes, I do have a show. So by way of introduction, I want to start out by posing this question. Are you tired of all the throwbacks that attempt to relive the 80s? And the correct answer is no. Of course you're not. You should feel bad for even asking this question.
I hate the 80s.
You hate the 80s?
Why do you hate the 80s?
Oh, God, they were so terrible.
The hairstyles, yeah, I'll give you that.
The corporate greed, the Ferris Bueller, the mediocre movies.
Yeah, I was still expecting the Ferris Bueller to come out, yeah.
Yeah, Reagan, yeah.
Yeah, not a great decade, but okay. Strike one, Lev, keep going.
Voodoo economics.
I don't understand any of the words that she just said, because the 80s are awesome.
God. I mean, not understanding the words we said is pretty much par for the course with this podcast, so keep going.
Yeah, all right then. So the show I'm pitching is American Horror Story Season 9. It's called 1984. Hit 80s.
Ah.
Yes. So just to give you a little bit of an overview of how American Horror Story series works, every season is just a completely new story, totally unrelated to anything that came before it. So it doesn't really matter which season you start with, as long as you start with the first episode of the season. And the one I'm picking is specifically 1984, because this is kind of like, I'll describe it as a love letter to the 80s slasher movies.
So Big Brother is not involved?
Big Brother is not involved. No reference to the actual book. So why they picked 1984 is, well, it's debatable. But they didn't have to go there. They just decided that would have to be the year.
All right.
Where can we watch it?
It is available on Hulu.
Perfect.
Ooh, okay.
So each episode is about an hour long. So if you start off with the first couple of episodes, it'll take you about 2 hours to get through it. And the show, even though it's called the horror story, it's not really scary or anything like that. Because the whole thing is a totally over-the-top campy. In fact, the first episode is called Camp Redwood. And it is like a deliberate choice to set it up in this campy style that is more entertaining than anything else. Yes.
I was wondering if it would be scary or not, because I just figured it would be since the word horror is in the title, but maybe not.
No.
That's an argument against the 80s, because the 80s literally ruined American Horror Story by taking the horror out of it.
Well, I mean, if you want to watch something scary, I'm sure there are plenty of those options out there, but this is not recommended because it's scary, but more because it's campy. If you enjoyed watching Scream, like the original one, it goes along similar scariness level, technically in the horror genre, but really just, you can't take it seriously. So that's why it's not scary, very campy. It plays a lot with the tropes that everybody's familiar with that you see in horror movies. And actually, because this is a series as opposed to like, you know, an hour and a half movie, which most of the 80s horror flicks would be, they do go more into the characters. And this is one of the places where they actually really succeed, where a lot of other places fail, even though they expand the tropes into like these more nuanced, longer running characters. They don't ruin any of them. They actually like recognize what makes it a character and what makes it a good trope. And they just kind of play around with it as opposed to talk about how coarse sand is. So,
gotcha. All right. I'm with you so far. So I'm curious, why did you choose this season of American Horror Story as opposed to some of the other ones?
Honestly, this is the only season I enjoyed.
All right.
Wow. Okay.
I tried watching the other ones. I did not enjoy them, but this one, they nailed it.
Cool.
So is there a particular reason you think that one of us would like it more than the others, or like based on what you know of us and our interests?
Nope. I didn't give that part much thought. I think it's just kind of a fun watch overall. There are enough twists and turns to kind of keep your attention. Yeah, no, I can't think of one person who might enjoy it more than the others.
Okay. Are there any actors that kind of stood out that we might recognize from other stuff?
So the lead is Emma Roberts, who has done a bunch of other slasher films. And the other one you may recognize is, I think, John Carroll Lynch. I think he was on Everybody Loves Raymond. And his character in this series is totally different and not unlike what you know him as. In fact, you probably won't even recognize him until about halfway through the series. I didn't.
Cool. He's very tall, right?
He is tall, yes.
Okay, yeah. Good.
They did not make him short.
Okay.
Do you say you don't want no short man?
Not if you're John Carroll Lynch.
Yeah, I mean, not messing around with that guy.
Yeah, so I mean, is there any one 80s reference that won't give away any spoilers that I think that you think that would really, that Scott and I would really love and Nye would really hate?
I mean, it's been a little while since I've seen it, so they do kind of clobber you over the head with 80s references and references to movies like Friday the 13th. That's kind of like the biggest one, probably, because, you know, camp, lake, that kind of stuff. You're going to see some hairdos. You're going to see distinct hairdos.
Does it have any elements that are parodies of those 80s, like, summer camp movies or shows?
I mean, I suppose that is part of the premise, is that, you know, they're playing around with the idea of, you know, the summer camp killer and ghost stories and that kind of stuff.
Okay.
I wonder if they make references to Sleepaway Camp, which is one, it's like a very bad, like they cover it on a better podcast than this. How did this get made? And it was a pretty interesting campy slasher film that I wasn't aware of until I heard the podcast. But have you guys seen Sleepaway Camp?
I haven't.
No, I haven't.
Is it Sleepaway or maybe it's Summer Camp?
I mean, as we stated before on a couple of other episodes, I'm not so much into horror, but every once in a while I get surprised.
Yes. Well, our other guest pitcher previously in the podcast was Sherv, and he told us about the show The Terror, which was quite scary in some ways, but I enjoyed watching that.
Agreed.
And I don't mind if something is kind of making fun of the 80s, I might be on board for it. You may convert me.
It does make fun of it. It definitely has the distinct 80s feel to it. So there's no getting around it. It says so in the title. 1984.
True. It's hard to get around that.
It sets appropriate expectations.
No matter how hard you petition the Ministry of Love, you're not getting around it.
No. But I do have one other follow-up 80s question. If it's 1984, I'm assuming that this will be David Lee Roth and not Sammy Hagar that's in it.
You lost me.
Sorry. Yeah, 1984 was a reference to Van Halen. Sorry.
And the lead singer of which changed at some point in the 80s. But Lev, actually, I was wondering what your take on this is, because until a previous podcast, I didn't know this, but Nyan is very much against Ferris Bueller's Day Off. He did not like it. What are your thoughts?
I think Nyan should be ashamed of himself.
Hey, there you go.
I'm ashamed of myself for other reasons, not for not liking Ferris Bueller's Day Off, which is the correct opinion when it comes to Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
But Ferris Bueller's Day Off doesn't really bother me one way or another. It's a fun movie, but I don't care if you like it, so long as we all agree that The Breakfast Club is like the best.
It is. It does definitely ranks up there for me.
Yeah.
It's fine. I'm not mad at the Breakfast Club. Not as mad as I am at Ferris Bueller for ruining everyone else's day for his own day off. Jerk.
But yeah.
It's 80s hijinks. What do you want?
I want people to respect the working class. That's all I'm asking for.
Well, I think what really irks Nine is that you have someone that has the opportunity, you know, not to go super Uncle Ben and Aunt May on this, but, you know, with great power comes great responsibility. And he had a great power of being this loved individual, and he could have used this to better ends than simply having a day off. Is that kind of where you're getting at, Nye?
Partially, but just his blatant disregard for people who are just trying to do their jobs. Lev, your wife is a teacher. If she taught high school and had to deal with Ferris Bueller, you'd probably hear about it. And his day off would ruin her day, and thereby ruining your day. So really, Ferris Bueller is very much doing you a disservice.
I'm fully aware of people who attempt to be Ferris Buellers and think that they can get away with it in real life. There's nothing realistic about it.
Absolutely not.
Yes.
For sure.
I would advise you against trying to rewatch Saved by the Bell, because if you do, you realize how much of a...
jerk?
Yes.
Yes. I was thinking of a stronger word than that, Zach Morris is.
Yeah. Oh, there's a whole web series called Zach Morris is Trash.
Thank you. I was about to say that.
Yes, he constantly manipulates and betrays his friends.
Yep.
But it's 80s style hijinks. What do you want?
That's, in the 90s.
That's how they that's how they played.
In the 90s, it was slightly more tolerable. Because it wasn't the 80s. And also, Kelly Kapowski was there, who is... I don't think Tiffany Amber Thiessen ages, which is kind of amazing.
No.
I haven't seen her recently, but I would imagine not.
Yeah, no. I'm pretty sure she looks exactly the same as she did, you know, 20 years ago. However long it was, I don't want to do math. Do not correct my math.
We'll move on, but...
Yeah. Although I have to say, I mean, can we all agree that the true American Horror Story is the simulation we're dealing with right now in the world?
Yes.
That took a turn.
Sure. Why not? I'm yes-anding this.
I know we're not talking about Saved by the Bell, but in some episodes I recently watched, Zach Morris is also incredibly misogynistic and sexist.
Yep. He is.
Yes. So this is why I'm saying, don't try to rewatch them. Just, you know, remember them as this fun TV show you watch after school or something.
Right. Remember them fondly as entertainment that they were in the context of the time they were.
Yes, the era in which they were made.
Okay. I got you.
Yeah. That is typical of what you'd see in the 80s.
Yeah.
I mean, we acknowledge it and we move on. What do you want?
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, I think we'll come away watching the specific season of American Horror Story, or well.
Shut up, Dan. That's impressive.
I'm Winstoning what you're saying.
Perfect.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that
was too forced. No, I'm not going to allow that one.
I think it's kind of clear that we have to close up the barnyard for the evening here.
He's just going to keep doing it if we let him.
This is what each episode or each pitch usually devolves into.
Yeah.
But okay, so do you think American Horror Story 1984 does a good job of capturing the spirit of the 80s?
Yes, they do. Okay.
Cool. And I do enjoy Stranger Things, so I'm looking forward to checking this one out.
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, definitely out of my, definitely in my comfort zone, but I'm definitely looking forward to checking this out.
I will do this because I have to.
Three out of three.
Yes. Because the rules of the podcast say so. So there you go.
Yes.
A winner is
thank on. You, Liz.
You are welcome.
Well, that happened, folks, which brings us to the end of another episode of the Watch OK Please podcast. We hope you had a good time listening to us spout more nonsense today, and hope you join us next week for another exercise in futility.
In the meantime, please rate and review us on either Apple Podcasts or Spotify, or just tell a friend about us. Until next week, keep on watching.